The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed, for they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. I feel like you've made it to the big times when you get resurrection on Easter Sunday, so... When we look at the Gospels today, last night, and really for the next 7 days, all throughout the octave of Easter, we're going to constantly see something happening over and over again. First of all is the church keeps repeating different accounts of the early church discovering. They go to the tomb, they discover Jesus isn't there, everyone is surprised, and they wonder what's going on. St. John's Gospel in particular delves into the person of Mary Magdalene. And Mary Magdalene really represents all of us. I think if you want to understand why was the resurrection such a big deal to the early church, let's put ourselves in her shoes for a minute. So who was she? We know Mary Magdalene was a sinful woman, okay? Was she a prostitute? Possibly. We know for a fact she was possessed by 7 demons. Not figuratively, literally, possessed by 7 demons. And probably she was living a sinful lifestyle. She was probably, and who knows if she became possessed because she was living a sinful lifestyle or after she became possessed, she got into a sinful life, whatever. We don't know the details. But somewhere along the line, Christ entered into her life. And he saw her not as a sinner, not as someone to be used, not as a demoniac. He saw her as the woman that he created. He saw her for the woman that she could become. He saw her as the potential saint. He saw her dignity, and he transformed her. He freed her from her sin. He forgave her sins. He freed her from her sin and released her from really the worst bondage and servitude that is possible, which would be to be possessed. I don't know if any of you saw any of the movie. It's not a happy Easter movie, but the movie Nefarious does a very good job. If you ever want to understand possession, it does a very good job, okay? But there can be no more humiliating and degrading thing to happen than what Mary Magdalene was experiencing. Christ entered into her life and totally transformed it and elevated her up out of the dust and made her one of his chosen followers. So Christ, who was going around the country, this famous preacher, this prophet, people wondering, you know, is he the Messiah? And she's in his chosen company. And she witnesses him performing miracles that nobody in history has ever done, repeatedly curing blind people. Nobody's ever done that before. Raising people from the dead. Less than a week before he himself was crucified, he raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus had been in the tomb 3 days. She witnessed him transforming and converting lives, changing people, bringing them to the love of God. Also, beating all of the religious leaders in debates whenever they would come and accuse him of anything. He always had the right answer. And all of a sudden, her world and the world of the early church got turned completely upside down. the absolutely unthinkable happened. He was betrayed. He was not only just put to death, he was put to death in the worst way imaginable. He was buried, he was dead. And all of their hopes are like, what have we been putting our faith in? How could this possibly happen? Okay? Now, imagine in that frame of mind to suddenly discover he has risen. He has not only conquered, he's not only just beaten people in arguments, he doesn't just work miracles. He has defeated the worst things that can possibly happen to humanity. He has defeated death. He has defeated suffering. He has defeated intrigue and scandal and sin. There is absolutely nothing left that Jesus has not triumphed over. This is the joy that when the early church finally gets it through their head, that he has risen, he's alive, he's joyful, he is forgiving them, he appears to them. This is the joy that comes to the early church. They realize there's nothing left out there that Christ has not defeated. There is nothing that life can throw at me that Christ cannot overcome and transform in my life. There is no cross, there is no sin, there is no suffering, there's nothing that life can throw our way that Christ has not transformed through the resurrection. If ever there was cause for celebration, for joy, it is today. So, and I think this is why it's so relevant, because every single person in this church, we all have our sufferings. We all have heartaches. We lose loved ones. Perhaps some of us have, you know, bad health or cancer or something like that. Sometimes life doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. And the reality is, and God will allow us, like Mary Magdalene, like the early church, he will allow us those moments when it's like, Lord, why are you letting me be here? Why are you allowing me to be in this situation? Well, ask ourselves, why did he allow Mary Magdalene, in a certain sense, to feel so low at the crucifixion? Because it's when you come through, you bottom out, and you come out of that, and you realize Christ has triumphed even over that, then there's nothing left that can ever cause us despair. And this is the joy of the resurrection. This is the message of Easter Sunday. Christ has triumphed, and it's not just that we celebrate the fact that he's triumphed. He shares his victory with every person in this church. Every single one of us has access to the gifts and the grace and the joy that the resurrection brings. And this is why we make such a big deal. So, happy Easter to everybody, and I look forward to, you know, hopefully next Easter, if I get a good grade, you have to say nice things about me, so next year, this time, I actually get to celebrate a Mass again in resurrection for Easter. Father and Son, Holy Spirit.